The Holy Spirit yesterday gave me a very unusual scripture for this circuit meeting from Acts chapter 2. Just want to read it again. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And all that believed were together and had all things common. I really believe that Satan wants to isolate us. I'm persuaded of that. And I believe that's why some of you had a difficult time getting here. And some of you have had difficult times getting here in the past, because the devil wants to isolate us. Keep us on our own turf, on our own territory, busy doing our own thing until we wear away. And so I believe that God wants to say to us today that we are to be together, and second of all, that we must have all things common. I'm going to say something today I believe is going to be very strange, but I believe, I may be speaking prophetically, but I believe that we're moving into a new era in the ministry. A new era. A new era that we need to strongly consider. Because I believe that we are now facing, I believe that we're right in the very beginnings of it, but I believe we're facing satanic warfare and battles that we have never faced before. And I believe it's going to continue throughout this decade. I believe that Satan is about to come down in great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. And I believe we're going to experience it. I believe the worth of the prophet is to foretell what is going to come so that we can prepare our hearts for that. I know that for about 3 years I've been prophesying over several people. I've prophesied over a lot of people that they're going to Cuba. Now, why would you prophesy that when Cuba hadn't even opened? I know there was even some in Tom Peters' church and others that I prophesied Cuba. Because the prophetic is to foretell what is coming so that we can prepare our hearts. About 2 years ago in Jesse Mason's church, I prophesied Japan, Japan, Japan. It was incredible how Japan just rang in my spirit, and I called that out to the church. Even the fellow playing the piano started playing Japanese music on the piano. It was incredible. And we know now that Japan door connection is there, and they're even preparing to go in a couple of weeks to Japan. And now we know that Cuba's opening. So these people that have been hearing that Cuba word have been preparing their hearts. I believe some of them have really been preparing, getting ready to go. I prophesied about 3 years ago in Tulsa over a man and his wife. I said, I see you going to West Germany, and then I see you going to East Germany. About a month ago, I spoke at the Pentecostal Holiness School of Missions in North Carolina, and that man was there. I didn't even remember him, but he got up and gave the testimony how that 3 years ago I prophesied West Germany and then East Germany, and they were preparing, he and his wife were preparing to leave for East Germany. Everything was ready, and they were on their way. So what was I doing? What was the prophetic word doing? The prophetic word was preparing, was giving the word so that we could prepare our hearts. So I believe the primary work of the prophet, or the major work of the prophet, is not to come and give individual words to individual people. I do not despise that, and I'm not against that. I'm certainly for it, but it's certainly not the major focus or function of the prophet. The prophet is to speak to the church or a city or a nation what they see coming, so that we can prepare our hearts for that. So I believe that we need to prepare our hearts for what we see coming in the ministry. And boy, these words really are ringing in my spirit today. They were together and they had all things common. Last night we had a prophetic word given concerning spiritual relationships. Not soulish relationships, but spiritual relationships, spiritual connections. And I really believe that that is what God is wanting to develop in our lives. And the reason that I've been having the circuit meeting for 5 years is to be with you, be together. And they were together and had all things common. And when we come in here, we are on common ground. This is our house is your house. Our time is your time. And we give ourselves to you. You give yourselves to us. So we're all on common ground. We serve one common Father. And that's not being disrespectful, that word. But we have one Father. We drink out of one cup, out of one spirit. Regardless of our different philosophies, our different doctrines, our different agendas, we move beyond that. We move beyond that. We have let doctrines and philosophies and principles separate us in times past, but God is saying, I want you to go beyond that to common ground. And the common ground is that Jesus is Lord, and the common ground is that God is doing something as far as relationships are concerned. And relationships begin as a work of the Holy Spirit. You do not put people together. I know of men that are trying to start fellowships across America by simply running an ad and saying, would you come to this meeting? I'm telling you, it will not work. But it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that puts people together. It's the Spirit that reaches out and ties that spiritual knot. It cannot be in the solical realm. It cannot be because we have the same background, or we're from the same state, or we have the same likes or dislikes. God puts people together with different personalities, with different likes and dislikes, with different backgrounds, with different doctrines. But we have to move past that. See, the trick of the devil has been in past years is he tries to get us before we reach common ground. He tries to get us in our backgrounds, the way we praise and worship, our doctrines, our likes and dislikes, our ways of worshiping God. So he knocks us out. He aborts the whole thing before we get to the common ground. But I believe that once we move to common ground, we recognize that these are very minute compared to what God really wants to do. So if we can ever move past those things, those differences, to move to common ground. And once we reach common ground, it makes no difference what size church we pastor. It makes no difference how this or that. We know that God has put us together in the Spirit. And He does not just put us together in the Spirit in order to have coffee every once in a while, or to tell each other a favorite story once in a while, or even just to get together every once in a while. He puts us together for ministry. See, we must move to a higher revelation than saying, well, boy, I sure love to fellowship with my brother. I enjoy his company, enjoy her company. I enjoy being with him. No, it's far beyond that. But I believe that God is putting us together for ministry. For ministry. And once we come together and begin to spend time together, and that is the key. And the devil will so isolate you in your own backyard till that will become your world, you and your staff and your congregation. And I want to tell you something. If the devil isolates you to your backyard, you're going to get beat up in the decade of the 90s.
That's right. That's right.
If it's just you and Jesus having your own thing going, there's a storm coming, and you're going to get blown up. And so I believe that God is preparing us for storms. I see grievous times coming to the church. I wish I could say I see wonderful times, but I see grievous times. I see grievous times. God is about to shake everything that can be shaken. If you think we've had exposure to immorality in the past, you ain't seen nothing yet. I hear the Holy Spirit saying God's going to have a pure church, and he's going to remove everyone with unholy hands. We're going to have an exposure of sin that you will not even be able to fathom in the next 24 to 36 months. And there's coming a shaking. We no longer have the respect of our nation. There was a time you could tell people you were a minister and they would reverence you and they would honor you, but those days are far over. And God is going to shake this thing. When storms come and shakings come, because God's going to have a pure church. I believe Jesus is coming after his bride, and his bride's going to be pure. Holy, holy, holy is our God, and he's coming after a holy bride. And judgment will begin at the house of God, and it will begin at the pulpit, and then it'll go all the way to the back. You say, well, why is God waiting? I believe he's given us space to repent. He's a merciful God. He's giving us space to repent. And then he's going to go through the temple, and he's going to overthrow every table that can be overthrown. And he's going to get his whip out. And he's going to call for order, and he's going to call for purity. And I hear weeping in Zion. I hear wailing in Zion coming. I do believe we're going to have one more breath of God blow upon us. I believe we'll have a Joel revival in this nation. But I believe it's going to, first of all, begin with a revival of repentance. It's going to become a revival of purity. And no longer is the emphasis or the focus going to be put upon anointing. It's going to be put upon character and integrity. And so God is saying to us, I want you to be together, and I want you to have all things common. Because only when we are together are we able to develop those relationships. And only as we are able to move to common ground are we able to have true relationships. So what is God doing? Why is he putting men together, and why is he putting us together for common ground? Because I believe the way we are going to minister in the future, the way the church is going to minister, is going to be radically changed. Because I believe that God is going to put men together in relationship to help each other minister. This is not the way it is with all churches, but most pastors, as far as being seasoned, are far above even their staff. And when the storm comes and you need help, those men may not, and I'm not saying this is in all churches, but most churches. Because for the past 6 years, Gene and I have given our life to ministering churches of all different camps and all different persuasions. And we have probably seen just about everything. And I've had the opportunity to work in great churches and large churches and small churches and in different denominations and different camps. And I see that most What I see happening is Satan trying to isolate most pastors to where it's just them and their church and their staff. But when the storm comes, you're going to need some men Amen. That have the same seasoning you have.
Amen.
You're going to need them. You're going to need them. And if you have not developed relationships, because you know what relationships take? Time. T-I-M-E. Time. And even in this meeting, the devil will try to have you, get you distracted and thinking about little things that you need to do at home. And I'm not being critical when I say that, I trust, but it's always that he wants to get you distracted from maybe the larger picture. But there is coming a day when you are going to need men of your own seasoning who have been through the storms. You see, the only thing that will season a man is storms and difficulties and adversities and confrontations. There's no substitute for it. But if you've not developed relationships with those men, who are you going to call on? Who are you going to call on? Mike Hankins recently had his senior associate, to resign, and he only had two elders left, men that are not real seasoned men. And his dad and myself serve as elders at that church also. He did call us non-resident elders, but that sounds like you don't have any place to live. Just live in your car, non-resident.
That was his plan.
Yeah. So he finally just started calling us elders. But on that particular Sunday, when his senior associate was leaving, he felt like that he needed his dad and myself to be there on the platform for strength at that particular time. It was a stormy time because so many of the staff had already left. Then here his senior associate's also leaving. But if he had not developed a relationship, you see, you can't just call a man and say, would you sit on the platform with me? There's got to be a relationship. So he had to go back. For 5 years we've been in a relationship. And so we know each other in the spirit. Paul, he began to recognize this when he said, I'm not going to know you after the flesh, but I need to know you after the spirit. But it takes time to know a man after the spirit. The only way you're going to know a person after the spirit is be together. I can't know you after the Spirit unless I spend time with you, unless I'm together with you. And being together does not just mean that we're always together at a convenient time or a convenient season or a happy time. It means crying together. It means being transparent before each other. It means being willing to forgive each other. And the prophecy came forth last night that every relationship was going to be tested. And there's several in this room that our relationship has been tested. And I believe that any relationship you have will be tested. And there'll be a human side come out of us if we're together long enough. Because true relationships moves beyond the performance mode. True relationships when we see each other at our worst. And and really willing to stay with each other. So they were together. They were together. And they had all things come. What's mine is yours. My time's your time. How can I serve you? What can I do for you? Goes far beyond the call of duty. And I want to tell you something, men, women, if you do not develop relationships, you will not have those to stand with you when you really need help. I'm going to go a step further. I really believe that God's going to use men and women that you're in relationship with to help you pass through your church. Pastor your church. Because I believe that there are different giftings. Jen and I don't believe we've never had a word we'll ever pass again. I cried, God, never. But if perchance it could ever happen, I don't believe it will, because that's not in my heart at all. That I really believe that I would have a whole dimension of men that I could draw from to come and minister at my church.
Amen. Amen.
Men who have business giftings, men who have administrative giftings, men who have giftings to for deliverance, men who have prophetic giftings, men that have giftings to be able to minister in one way or the other that I could draw from. If I was a pastor, I'd never try just to draw from my own self. I realize now how foolish I was for so many years. And then to have men in that I was not in relationship with,
right,
that I introduced to my church and released in my pulpit just because they were well known or just because they had a particular talent. But I have to declare that very few men over 17 years that I had in my pulpit really moved into the harness with me. Most of them came with their own agenda to get their offering and to be gone. But most of them did not come to serve me, my vision. But if I was a pastor today, I would reach out and I would draw from other men who were pastors. I would draw from other men who were pastors because they understand the sheep. And I'm not saying we don't need the evangelist. We do. We do need the evangelist. But I'm saying when we have people on our platform that we have not built any type of relationship with whatsoever, don't know, it can be very detrimental or disastrous to our church. I'm not saying we're not supposed to have any outside speakers. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if we really want to develop our churches, I believe we need to have men in our pulpits and platforms that we know in the Spirit. And this thing of saying, well, I'm just going to pastor my own church, I believe those days are going to come to a close. Now, this may be new revelation to you, but I believe that God is going to begin to put men together and they're going to begin to preach in each other's churches, minister in each other's churches. I see 4, 5, 6 men ministering together. And this thing of never being able to leave our own pulpit, I believe that will change. Now, it may not be that way right now, but it will change because there's storms coming. There's storms coming. And I believe that as we develop relationships with each other, we're going to know, man, I need my friend to come and minister at my church. I need his anointing. I need his input. I need his expertise. I know him. We've been together. We have common ground. I trust him. And he's going to come in, minister for you. Y'all going to be together. You're going to draw from him. I'm really scared by what I see in the ministry right now. I'm really scared of men isolating themselves and going through storms and difficulties and do not have other seasoned men to come in and stand with them. So I am prophesying the day's coming when we're going to have several men, several other pastors. Men that we've been in a relationship with to help us pastor our church. And these men I'm in a relationship with, I'm going to consider their ministry. I'm going to consider their ministry also. Not only will I have be pastor of my church or give oversight to my church, but I realize that I'm in relationship with several other churches. You say, well, that sounds pretty far-fetched. Well, I believe God wants to give us greater insight. I believe God wants to give us greater revelation. I came and prophesied at B.B. Hankins Church that he has a triangle. It's 200 miles from West Columbia to Alec, 300 miles or 200 miles? 300 miles from West Columbia to Alexandria, Louisiana, Alexandria 300 miles to Rockwall, Rockwall 300 miles to West Columbia. And that no longer was he just going to pastor his church, but he was going to give himself to his two sons. Of course, he has a lot of spiritual sons that he brought together too. I attended B.B. Hankins Spiritual because he's my spiritual father. I attended 2 weeks ago, I attended a meeting where he brought 26 of his spiritual sons together for a week, for 3 or 4 days. Together. Those that believed, or those that were, I believe, in the same flow, they were together. So he spent time with them, being together with them. Got to do more than just have lunch together. But I also prophesied to his church, and they released him to do so, that he no longer was just pastoring his church. He was also helping pastor Alexandria, Louisiana, in Rockwall, Texas. Amen. That has to come by revelation to the congregation. What are you saying? I'm saying that pastors are going to help pastor more than one church. Now, I believe they'll be the set man in one church. They'll have their same geographical location. They'll still be the pastor of that one church. But God's going to expand you out now. And some of you are going to help pastor 4 or 5 churches. 2 or 3 churches, whatever it may be. You say, well, I've got all I can say grace over right now. How will I do it? It'll come by revelation.
Amen.
But the very thing you're saying, Dale, with those other men coming in, is going to make our job easier right where we are.
That's right.
See, that's the whole key.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I really believe it's, we've got to be careful we don't try to make anything.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
It's all got to be by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Ghost. So they were all together. They were all together. At all things come. Let us pray a while.